can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to be.
Not all of the 700 songs Frank Lesser wrote during his all-too-brief lifetime became classics, but many did, and what a range. On a Slow Boat to China, Two Sleepy People, Heart and Soul, I Don't Want to Walk Without You, Spring Will Be a Little Late This Year, See What the Boys in the Back Room Will Have, and this, his 1948 Oscar winner, Baby, It's Cold Outside. He won two Tony Awards, one of them for Guys and Dolls, a Grammy, and How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, won a Pulitzer. Frank Lesser died in 1969 of lung cancer. He was just 59 years old. Next Tuesday marks the 100th year anniversary of his birth, and we thought that we would celebrate his remarkable career and enduring musical legacy with his widow, the wonderful singer Jo Sullivan Lesser. I'm very pleased to welcome you back to our show.
Well, thank you very much.
There are several events tied to the 100th anniversary. Can you tell us about some of them?
Well, let's see. We did the Actors Fund did a big gala performance for Frank last October. And
with people like Paul McCartney and
well,
others.
I talked him into it. He called me one day and he said, you know, Joe, I just had this message on my cell phone. I said, Joe, I just played More I Cannot Wish You. And I think that's the best song I've ever heard. And here's my telephone number if you ever want to call me. So when the Actors Fund wanted to do a gala for Frank, I said, I'm going to call him. So I called him and he said, you know, I'd like to do that. And you know what I'd like to sing? I want to sing Slow Boat to China. And he came and he sang Slow Boat to China and he was divine.
Was Frank one of the people who would have been embarrassed by all the attention?
He would have liked it, but he would have acted like he didn't. He would try to hide behind a pole or something.
I've heard that a revival of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying is planned for next year.
It is, indeed. As a matter of fact, we were auditioning people yesterday and heard, when I audition people, which I don't do a lot, but I have done lately, I'm so amazed at the talent that's around. My guys, they're great. And we found a lot of good people.
And I gather Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter, is one of the people?
He is going to play the lead. He's going to be Finch. And he wanted to convince me that he could sing. So he came over about 3 months ago, and we all sat down and did a whole reading of the show, and they sang all the songs, and we chose people, and he sang all the songs and read the part, and he was absolutely enchanting. He really was.
Do you think that what we know about the causes of the current financial crisis have made that show more relevant again?
I think it has. There's a joke in there yesterday about stocks, something I can't tell you exact line because Hay Burrows wrote some pretty good lines, let's face it. And it's so apropos today that everybody was laughing in the room, and I don't remember getting a laugh all the time because I've seen it everywhere, including in Japan, by the way, with the – you heard of the Takamazuka, the all-girl Japanese troupe?
Mm-hmm.
They played it. They were good.
My guest is Jo Sullivan Lesser. We're talking about Frank Lesser. He came from a musical family, didn't he? His father taught classical piano, and his older brother, Arthur, was a well-known concert pianist and also a musicologist and music critic.
Yes, he was. And he wrote the definitive, everybody tells me, and I think it is, book on piano called Men, Women, and Pianos. And Arthur could play. I mean, could really play. And his father was a piano teacher, so naturally Frank would not take piano lessons.
And he preferred pop music to classical music, refused to study classical music.
He wouldn't study it at all, no, because they were all doing it, so he wasn't going to do that. And finally, when he started writing just lyrics, he really didn't know how to play the piano. But he would quiz everybody that was playing the piano for him and finally had a big, long, I don't know, plaque made of piano keys with it, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's where you see one octave. And he taught himself how to play piano.
The way that Irving Berlin taught himself to play Always in the Key of C.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, he was a local boy, Townsend Harris
Street.
High School, City College, although he dropped out. And
yes.
Had a lot of other careers before he got into songwriting. selling newspaper advertising. He was a process server.
Yes, that's a good one, isn't it?
He edited a newspaper in New Rochelle. So how did that lead him to writing lyrics for famous songwriters?
Well, I think that he really inside was full of music. As a matter of fact, I know he was. He loved music. And he had a good friend called William Schumann, you know, who was the head of the Juilliard School of Music. And they were playing around together. And one day they decided, let's write a song together. So they did. And they wrote In Love with the Memory of You. And they went down Broadway. And Broadway, you used to go in those places and you could go in a booth and record a song. And they went in there and sang and recorded it. And they took it. They had a lot of nerve. They took it around everywhere and they got it published. And that was the first song he had published.
But that was his first flop, too.
Yeah, that's right. That was his first flop. I still have the sheet music, though.
Well, he went from that to becoming one of the most successful lyric writers in the business, making $1,000 a week, which was a lot of money in those days. Wrote lyrics for some of the greatest of the time, Julie Stein, Hoagie Carmichael, Burton Lane, Arthur Schwartz.
He sure did.
And they, so he obviously was good at collaborating.
He liked that a lot. I understand from what the gentleman that he wrote with told me that he used to drive him crazy, though, because Frank always wrote the lyrics first. Even if he was writing his music, too, he wrote the lyrics first. And he would walk up and down, and the guy would be sitting at the piano doodling and waiting for Frank to give him a line. Frank would walk up and down, laugh to himself, and cry, whatever thing he'd do. Finally, when they were about to go nuts, he would say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And he would give them the line, and they'd start the song. And also, when he wrote songs, he would say to me, now listen, Joe, don't pay any attention to this music because this is just dummy music. I may change the whole thing. So just listen to the lyrics.
Well, why wasn't he composing the music for his songs from the start?
I don't really know. He never told me. Guess he kept it a secret.
But he had incredible success and went to Hollywood. Was Hollywood the major breakthrough for him?
That was right. He went out there with his friend Irving Ackman, and they tried to get in writing things. And Frank just was such a good lyricist, he just started working at $250 a week, and whatever they needed a lyric, he wrote it. And I'm amazed at some of the songs he wrote early. They're incredible.
Like
really.
What?
Well, there's one that he wrote in 1943, and that was the music and the lyrics, and I don't know how that happened, but it happens to be almost my favorite song, called Spring Will Be a Little Late This Year. And Deanna Durbin sang it in a movie. And I don't know how he wrote it, but he wrote it, and it's really a brilliant piece.
But he was in the Army Air Force, wasn't he?
He was.
So was he writing while he was in the military?
Oh, gosh, yes. He wrote Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition.
Did he write that as a novelty song or as a patriotic song?
Patriotic, I think. You never know with him. And he wrote What Do You Do in the Infantry? He wrote First Class Mary Brown. I always said Frank won the war single-handedly. He wrote so many songs. But he was a private, and he would never go above being a private because he said, I wanted to say Private Frank Lesser. That looks better on the sheet music than Sergeant. So he kept himself as a private.
At what point in his career did you meet him?
I met him when I was in a show called the famous Three Penny Opera with Lottie Lenya, the first one that was done at the Theatre de Lys. And they were looking for a waitress to play the part of Rosabella, the Most Happy Fella. And she had to be able to sing, really sing, and she had to sound like a waitress. Well, a lot of really great singers don't sound like waitresses, but I'm from the South. I'm from Southern Illinois. So I had that drawl. So they came down to see me, and that's when I first met him. And I auditioned about 20 times for that show.
Now, by that time, he was already quite famous. He had written Guys and Dolls.
Oh, yes, yes. He was very famous. I was annoyed.
And where's Charlie earlier?
Where's Charlie was his first
Once
hit.
In Love with Amy, that was a monster hit.
Oh, yes, that really was. And finally, Encores is going to do Where's Charlie this year. And I'm so glad they're doing one of Frank's shows.
Well, Guys and Dolls has to be one of the most perfect shows. Every song is great. And he had decided to write the music as well?
Oh, yes, because he wrote the music and the lyrics to Where's Charlie? He wasn't going to write with any more, he was always going to write the music and lyrics. And his aim toward his life was also to write the book.
Which he did for Most Happy Fella.
He did for Most Happy Fella, and he did for another piece with called Pleasures and Palaces. That is a Russian piece about Catherine the Great, which has a fabulous score. He wrote the book for that, too. And then I have another show that's never been done of his called a Mexican piece he did in 1967. He wrote book, music, and lyrics. Pretty good.
Well,
I'm getting it on, too, by the way.
His five Broadway musicals each made a unique contribution to the art of American musical theater, but each was very different. Where's Charlie, Guys and Dolls, Most Happy Fella, Green Willow, How to Succeed in Business, and in the documentary made about him in some years back, Heart and Soul, Stephen Schwartz says Frank should get more credit for doing things before others did them.
Was he recognized
for being innovative at the time?
I don't think so. Not as much as he is now.
Why was Green Willow, which starred Anthony Perkins, considered a flop?
Well, it didn't run that long, and I'm not sure. I mean, Anthony Perkins was right for the part and played it well, but he didn't sing a lot, and Frank had some really big songs in that. And by the way, he went down to Nashville, too. He always surrounded himself with music of what kind of show he was writing. When he wrote the Russian show, I heard Russian music all day long. And he went down to Nashville to listen to singers, a lot of country singers, because Greenville was a country musical. And he took one of his songs, and he was auditioning June Carter, who was married to Johnny Cash, as we know. Mm-hmm. And she was going along. Suddenly she looked at Frank. She said, "Frank, this song ain't got no swallowing place." So he loved that. So when he went back, he wrote a song called No Swallowing Place, written by Frank Lesser and June Carter. And it's a very funny song, by the way.
Do you think that he wrote Most Happy Fella in part to impress his family? Because it's the closest thing to, operatic.
He never wanted it to be called an opera because he said if it's got to be called a musical, opera, nobody will go. I really don't. I've never had that question before, but I really don't think so. I think Frank wrote what he wanted to and what he really cared about. And I think at that point, he wanted to expand his musical ability, and he was really into that. He had, I have a lot of the score of things that he was going to do, John Steinbeck's, they were great friends, The Pearl. I don't know if you know that story.
Sure.
As a ballet. And I have a
Pedro
lot of
Armendariz starred in the film.
Yes, he sure did. And I wanted to, that would be great. I have a lot of the music from that. But he wanted to expand his career. He just wanted to.
Well, you said that there are a number of shows that he wrote that have never been produced.
Well, the Mexican piece.
Senor Discretion himself,
yes. Mm. Uh-huh. And I want to get a concert version out of Pleasures and Palaces because it's a brilliant score. It really is. And it is Russian. It's very Russian.
We didn't mention that. He also did a whole bunch of scores for Hollywood films like Hans Christian Andersen. And Standards came out of that as well.
Yes, we've done that on the stage, and we're going to do it again. It's one. I think that's one of my favorite scores he's written. He wrote, it took 5 years to write Most Happy Fella, and during that 5 years he wrote Hans Christian Andersen in the middle of it. He's a busy little boy.
In the documentary, as he was dying of lung cancer, he asks a friend to bring him cigarettes. We can only guess at what he could have done if he hadn't died so young.
I know. I think he did. He tried to stop smoking a lot, but it was hard. And actually, he had almost stopped by then, but too late.
Well, thank you for coming by to celebrate his 100th birthday with us.
Aren't you nice to ask me, and I thank you very much for doing that.
Joe Sullivan Lesser, when is the next thing that we can expect to see from him?
Well, we're going to see How to Succeed in Business without really trying first. Then we're going to see Hans Christian Andersen, and then we're going to see him. I'm going to get them all on.
Well, let's hear a little Frank Lesser himself.
Good.
You're on this date with me. The pickings have been lush. And yet before this evening is over, you might give me the brush. You might forget your manners. You might refuse to stay.
and so the best that I can do is pray. Oh, luck be a lady tonight, luck be a lady tonight. Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight.
He probably sang some of his songs better than the people who wound up performing them.
You frankly, you know something, I think he did.